staying with Israel-Hamas conflict. Let's now bring in Dr. Suleiman Imtiaz, the director and founder for Gift of the Givers, for the latest on the humanitarian aid assistance provided by the Israel-Hamas conflict victims. Dr. Suleiman, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Just talk to us about the challenges currently that you are facing as Gift of the Givers and, of course, other aid organizations in reaching out and assisting those affected, because we do understand that much needed aid is required, particularly when we talk about water, fuel, as well as food.
The situation is absolutely critical. Right now, the message has come that because of the strike on the hospital and the strike on several other hospitals, they've damaged four hospitals previously to this, and then they struck this hospital last night, and they've been even threatening to strike further hospitals. The healthcare workers have said, unfortunately, they don't have enough medication, they don't have enough support to fix the patients. They're expecting hundreds of patients just to lie on the floor and die. They're treating them on the floor now because there's no more space. The theaters are full, the beds are full, the wards are full, the reception is full. And in many cases, they're operating on the patients without anesthetic because they don't have anesthetic anymore. If they don't get any supplies, if the ceasefire doesn't take place, many, many people are going to die, besides those that have already died and those they haven't found under the rug. My teams, of course, they live there. You know, it's not South Africans there. These are people from Gaza that have been living there for years. We put them in a permanent position since 2014. It's the first time I ever hear them say that what's happening here is an absolute massacre, it's a genocide. When you tell them, try to take care of your teams and your family and put them in a safe place, they say that the word safe doesn't exist in Gaza. No place is safe. You said yesterday, you can see what happened. There were civilians in a hospital structure protected by international law. Residents were taking refuge in the hospital and they were directly hit from an aircraft. They said, what place is safe in Gaza? We've told them, unfortunately, it's a hard thing to say, but we've told them to start and bring additional people, recruit additional people, network with additional organizations. The reality is that they themselves can die. And when that happens, no, work will stop taking place. We need continuity. They said we're prepared for that already. Water plants are knocked out. They're not functional because there's no electricity, there's no fuel. We have three desalination plants. We've managed to connect some generators. People are taking fuel out from their cars and giving us fuel from their cars to put in the generator to run the water plants. But it's going to be running out of that soon. And of course, in the first few days, they were attacked by white phosphorus also, which causes it's a war crime. You know, it's a genocide, it's a war crime, and it's collective punishment. They've targeted homes. They've damaged so many homes. They've wiped out 400 families. The whole family is gone. Nobody left. And they said that in the attack last night, most of the patients that were brought to the other hospitals that are functioning, they were decapitated. They came without heads, they came without legs, and were badly mutilated.
Dr. Suleiman, we of course want to know more about the situation at the borders. At the moment, we know that aid trucks on the Egyptian side of the Rafah crossing, you know, have been unable to enter Gaza. Egypt is now also saying that it's concerned about the potential influx of Palestinian refugees if the Rafah crossing opens. Can you tell us what the situation on that border is like at the moment?
From what they've told me, I even spoke to the Egyptian ambassador because we asked him, in the event there's a possibility, we like to bring supplies and we like to bring medical teams. He said, look, from our side, the border is open. But he said, just take the pictures. There's hundreds of trucks there. Al Arif Airport, which is 1 hour from Rafah, from where the supplies go and where planes land, said, it's full. We can send you to the border, but we can't send you across, because they've been shot from the other side. And when I checked with my teams, they said that's correct. Because 2 days ago, there was an announcement, somebody posted an announcement, there's a ceasefire for 5 hours. And when we checked with them, they said they don't know where that came from. There's no such thing as a ceasefire. Israel is adamant that nobody's going to leave and nobody's going to come in. And that the trucks come. They were being shot at. They said the trucks were being shot at. So all the drivers are waiting outside. We don't know if it's perishable food or non-perishable food on items on those trucks, which means eventually you won't be able to use them with perishable food. So there's and people can't come out. Apparently there's 750 foreign nationals who need to come out. Everybody's stuck. One of the doctors who works for us, who comes a few times a year to do an organ transplant, kidney transplant, he's stuck inside there. He can't come out. We spoke to him, but he can't come out. And like him, there's many other people stuck inside. So on the border itself, the trucks can't move in, and from inside, people can't move out.
Dr. Suleiman, before I let you go, just very briefly and very quickly, I mean, have you experienced something like this? We know, of course, that there is supposed to be this ground offensive by Israel because they've said they won't stop bombarding Gaza. I mean, to what end would then, you know, the people who are living in Gaza then be able to be assisted? Because as we are talking now, there is a humanitarian crisis happening now.
There's no way you can help those people. Right now, all we're doing is buying stuff from inside. When it happened on the war started on the 6th of October, immediately I instructed my teams to buy items inside, whatever they could find, food, clothing, medicines, equipment, whatever they could find for the people, because we knew there's going to be a problem. And they, when I asked them, they said, like, blankets and mattresses are finished. Medical supplies are almost finished. Desalination plants are a problem unless we have fuel, which people are giving us from the car. You know, food stocks are running low. At some point, I'm actually surprised that they put so long with the supplies. I can't believe that it went so long. I was expecting it to be finished already. They've been buying food and providing hot meals to different UN camps. They've been assisting in that way. But the reality is that sooner or later, they're going to tell me, we have nothing here to send out to the people. When the ground troops come, I don't think the Palestinians bother anymore, to be quite honest, because they were given 24-hour notice. So the most illogical, irrational, insensible, you know, monstrous type of announcement, move 1.1 million people in 24 hours. Who in the right mind can make such kind of a request? And so many people, patients are in the hospital. The doctors can't move critically ill patients. They die on the way. And the amazing part is, whilst the people, those who wanted to move, they were shot at. And 70 people died in the convoy. Gazans have come to the conclusion and have decided, neither the civilians, nor the medical staff, nor the patients are going to move. They're going to wait there, and whatever happens, it's no way to live. They're tired of living like this. They'd rather be slaughtered and murdered and killed, but they're not going to move from there.